Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea. When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be lies.
So Scott Woodward, done at LSU, their AD. Not only will he not be included in the decision to hire their next head coach, he's out of a job. So I don't know if the governor got his way or maybe everyone at LSU was sick of Scott Woodward, but he is not the guy to make the next hire. It's messy. I've seen a lot of people who just give opinions. They don't have a real say in what's going to go on. Say, who wants that job? Who would want the LSU job when the governor's running his mouth? How much is LSU going to pay the guy who's going to come in? That's your answer. If they're paying $8 to $9 million, I can bet someone's really going to want that job. It has been proven. Only Brian Kelly has dispelled the notion that anyone can win a title there over the last 20 years. He's the only one.
Right now, it's anyone but Brian Kelly
at this point. So. Whether it be Ogeron or Les Miles, and of course Nick Saban, who started it there, he turned that job into one where you could win. Like Jerry DiNardo was there beforehand. LSU wasn't the premier job that it is now, and that's because of what Nick Saban set there. And we have seen.
Since then, everyone's
reaped
the rewards.
Even Brian Kelly got a Heisman Trophy winner out of the deal.
That's what needs to be said about Brian Kelly getting fired, is that, like, he still had two double-digit win seasons, and this year they're not, like, a complete disaster.
If he was...
They're underperforming.
Yeah, if
but
he was
not,
more like there, he might still have that job.
Yeah.
If he hadn't rubbed people the wrong way. So, yeah, I imagine if...
Like, this is the basement
LSU.
Of 21st century LSU
what
football.
What are we talking about? They got rid of Ogeron, COVID year happened, and, of course, some other stuff.
Yeah.
But he still had maybe the best team of all time, still contend the 0-1 Miami team. But, like, 19 LSU, great.
In the conversation.
Yeah, in the conversation. Yeah. But so someone's going to want that job, and the governor won't be involved throughout their tenure. I mean, they'll have to hire president and all that stuff. But at some point, LSU will hire a coach of high esteem who's going to get paid a lot of money and is going to be just fine. And, you know, just avoid the mistakes of Brian Kelly, whether it's kind of the grinding thing he did with that player for the recruiting thing or putting on that stupid accent. Just be normal and ingratiate yourself with the people at Louisiana State University, and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why this struck me all week, is that I said Louisiana State University, but they don't ever say that, I guess. Or at least nationally, we always say LSU. At least Florida State. It's Florida State. Yeah, you'll throw an FSU in there if you want to shorten it. But for the most part, everywhere else, Oklahoma State's not OSU. Ohio State's not OSU. Why does LSU not get called Louisiana State? Is that something they have set that they don't want to be called that?
Maybe.
Do you know the answer to that?
It might be something where they tell, because they can tell broadcasts to call us this, not that. Call us.
It's almost like the guy is like I was
like
doing.
The Central Florida thing.
Yeah.
UCF.
Scott Frost wants to be UCF, not Central Florida.
It stands for Central Florida.
Yeah, University of Central Florida.
And I think, you know what? Now that you bring it up, I think we let LSU get it off because they're LSU. UCF are like, we'll still call you Central Florida every once in a while.
I said it for effect to try to get into it. I just don't know why they're not called that more. I'm sure maybe someone in state has done it for emphasis when they want to
reference. It's like National Football League.
You want it that
Louisiana
way.
Louisiana State University.
The Ohio State, stuff like that. But it's just LSU. And when it's Florida State, we say FSU sometimes, but a lot of times we're saying Florida State. That's just some weird thing that clicked with me in my mind this week. But either way, LSU looking for an AD and a head coach. So the question is, do they have someone in mind and allow the AD to hire the coach? They have plenty of time at this point. It's now the last day of October, so they don't need to be completely rushed, but they got to make a move. And I wonder if they hire the coach first and then bring in the AD, or they do it in the more traditional way and let the AD go get his guy. We'll see. So that happened. Scott Woodward out. Some news that just broke on ESPN, if you want to call it breaking news. Sam Leavitt, done for the year. The Arizona State head, Arizona State quarterback, who was kind of tortured throughout by the Cougs in his last game. So he's done for the year, which means it's the full-on Jeff Sims experience for Arizona State. What a year it's been for them. They're coming off a season where they could have beaten Texas and made a semifinal. They felt pretty good about themselves coming back. Sure, no Cam Scadabo, but you're nationally ranked.
Bring back the quarterback.
You got quarterback, the great receiver. That's all good. You're top 15 team in the country to start the season. Of course, you lose to Miss State. And then Sam Leavitt's been banged up all year. And now you got to deal with Jeff Sims. Look, as Kenny Dillingham, he should already be criticized for bringing in Jeff Sims. But if he shepherds Jeff Sims to a winning record as far as wins, losses for Jeff Sims the rest of the way, not the team as a whole. So if they go like, I don't know how many games they have left. They got Iowa State this week and they're 5-3. Let's say they finish the year 8-4. Everybody should be calling Kenny Dillingham about his job status.
For sure.
Because if you go 3-1 with Jeff Sims as your quarterback,
yes,
top guy for all the top jobs.
Yes. I've said earlier this season that that Jeff Sims, to me, that's a freebie. It doesn't count as a loss. In my mind, you did not lose because you, just the act of having to start Jeff Sims, like that's tough enough. So I do feel like we should treat the rest of the season like they're under sanctions, except instead of not counting wins, we're not counting losses.
We expunged them from Kenny Dillingham's record.
Yeah, the last four games of the season, they now might he brought go it two, on himself. 2-0.
Now he brought him on himself.
I know.
He did bring in Jeff Sims.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
But, no, I agree with you, and it's actually a really big thing throughout the coaching carousel, especially this year, because it seems to be crazy, is that Kenny Dillingham does seem like he would be like a natural top candidate type guy, but he's from Arizona, met his wife at Arizona State, played there, all that stuff. Same thing, Clark Lee, alum of Vanderbilt. Brent Key, the Georgia Tech coach, Georgia Tech alum. So, like, all these guys that are in what, you know, historically are viewed as, like, you know, you
if
have
you do
that,
good there as a stepping stone
someplace
else. Yeah,
it's a stepping stone job, or you do well there, you know. James Franklin does well at Vanderbilt, gets the Penn State job, that kind of thing. It seems like it would be a pretty hard situation to get those guys out. And I think all three of those guys would be great at a place like LSU. I think most good coaches would be great at LSU. But I think, you know, that even for Florida or, you know, if Lane leaves and Ole Miss opens or if Auburn opens, like all of these guys would be really good options for these top jobs. But it comes with the thing of, like, how hard will it be to get them out of their alma mater?
Yeah, the assumption would be, considering the school's history, that, yeah, those guys would leave. But you've laid it out pretty clearly why those assumptions may be off, considering the unlikely connections when we think Vanderbilt hired someone who used to play there and they're good.
Yeah.
The unlikelihood of that, and of course, the Georgia Tech thing as well. So maybe those guys can be pried out of their current jobs with money and the chance to what they believe compete at a higher level. But when you're at your alma mater, you may just think, yeah, I can get them to a spot where we are championship level. Just give me the time and the resources.
Yeah. Especially, you know, we talked about how close Arizona State was in that Texas game, like the
4th and 13.
Yeah, Vandy and Georgia Tech are both top 10. In the AP poll in November.
I'm sure the sell for Clark Lee and Brent Key.
I know.
I'm just trying to get it squared away in my head. I'm sure the sell when they were hired is, why not us?
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if you go back on that and go, well, it can't be us. We're as good as we can be. Let me go someplace else.
Going to LSU.
Yeah, so we'll see there. We will talk more college football when we come back. And how you see those games, if you're a YouTube TV subscriber, it's going to be kind of tough, at least right now, because ESPN and their family of networks, where even ABC and other things attached, aren't available. You can see what you're missing if you're a YouTube TV subscriber by going to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. You're going to miss out on college football tomorrow. You're going to miss out on college game day tomorrow. And, of course, if this extends to Monday, you're going to miss out on Monday Night Football. A lot to miss out on if you're a YouTube TV subscriber without ESPN. So go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. But before we go to break, where we'll talk more college football, let's get to a very on-topic conversation considering the day, but off-topic considering it is, at least in some ways, a sports show. Let's hear from, I'm going to go with Mito, just because I don't know if we've ever had a Milo call in. What's up?
Hello, is this Del?
Oh, it is Milo. It is Milo Hamilton. It is Del.
Hello, Del. I'm glad you got your own show. You've been out there grinding it away behind the cameras. Happy Halloween, you son of a bitch.
Thanks, Milo. I appreciate the kind words, and I'm glad you're with us. Are you going trick-or-treating tonight?
No, you know, unfortunately, I live in a cul-de-sac, and everyone's been there forever, and there's no kids around to get candy. So I just stand in my driveway and yell, "Hello, happy Halloween, you all. Two-time World Series champions." Whoa.
So,
and that's my treat for all the people out there.
I'm glad you're still using your dulcet tones to treat the people. Now, you mentioned two-time World Series champions. There is a game tonight, and of course, we got a connection. George Springer looks to be back in the lineup for Game 6. We also have our hate for the Dodgers. Will you be taking in Game 6?
Does the Pope wear a funny hat, Bill?
He, in fact, does, Milo.
Well, then I'll be watching, pulling for Shohei. You know, Shohei's like watching Babe Ruth. You know, I saw Babe Ruth play, and let me tell you, he was a good hitter and a good pitcher, but he only played against one kind of person. So I believe Babe should have an asterisk, and Shohei, who can do it all, deserves no asterisk, only praise and awards and a lot of candy.
So
my prediction for tonight is a big win for the Dodgers, Del.
Okay. So not only are you predicting a Dodgers win, you are actually rooting for them because of Shohei. Is that what I'm hearing?
Rooting for them, hoping for a Game 7, a neutral party, still leading a little bit National League. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I am pulling for a Game 7, aren't we all?
Well, I mean, if you love the game of baseball, so Game 7 is great for baseball. I would agree. Put it on the biggest stage on a weekend night to see who's going to win the World Series. But if you're an Astro fan, you don't want any opportunity for the Dodgers to win. So that's why I asked. You cover the Astros called games for a long time. You started this call referencing the World Series wins. And yet, you don't mind if the Dodgers win tonight and possibly win a World Series?
I just like good baseball.
Understood.
Belly.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
And sometimes you gotta lay down your crown, if you will. Get out of your tower. Stop all the naysaying and step back and realize that you're watching the greatest athlete in the world. If he was on my team, I'd say a lot of Shohei. Oh, Delhi.
I don't like his variations of my name, I got to be honest. Milo, before we let you go, you started with Halloween. You're rooting on Shohei. You love a great player. Understood. But what about a great candy? Does Milo Hamilton have a favorite Halloween candy?
You bet I do. You know, for just the sheer handling, you can't beat a good raisinette. You put about 7 or 8 in your palm and eat them.
Oh, my gosh. A raisinette.
Also a big fan of those Boston beans. You know, the little things you put in there.
I know.
And then you spin it, and they get like 8 pieces of beans. Watch it, kids. They're not beans. They're crunchy.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't want to be surprised. It's going to give you a little crunch. So the Boston bean and a raisinette. I'm not surprised
maybe
by it. I just don't know how popular you would be if the kids did live in your neighborhood. Kids are different now.
Candy.
I know.
Just hand it out, rocks.
All right. Thank you, Milo. Milo Hamilton.
Thank you, Dell, for the airtime. I know it's precious.
Thank you. You're welcome. I would tell you, call in anytime you want. The airtime's not that precious on this show if you've ever heard it. We barely care. All right. Thank you, Milo. Pena, we'll get to you when we come back. Michael Carroll will follow that because it's about that time. In fact, I gotta go record something. I dipped out of here when Michael wanted me to record an aqueduct, so gotta make my apologies. We'll be joined by Michael Carroll in a little bit. We'll be joined by Pena when we come back. And you should get in. 713-780-3776. We've given away the Cougar tickets, or did I say we would? Okay, let's do that. Not now. At 11:25, caller 4 wins a pair of tickets to see the Cougs versus West Virginia. It is a game that's going to honor not only the people who serve our country, but it'll honor the 2015 Peach Bowl title team. Tom Herman's in town. He joined, I think, Jeremy Branham this week. He'll join John and Lance next week. So if you want to honor that team, now's your chance. We'll go caller 5 at 11:25. Caller 5 at 11:25 wins those tickets. They want you to come early, be loud, and wear black because this time they're doing it to honor someone very close to the program. Their strength and conditioning coach, director of strength and conditioning, Coach Hester, lost his battle of cancer. And his favorite color was black. So it's a game where you wear black. It's a blackout game in his honor. If you don't get tickets from us in the next couple minutes, you can call him at 713-GO-COUGS or go to uhcougars.com/tickets. Cougs versus West Virginia, honoring people who serve, honoring that legendary 2015 Peach Bowl team. And you can see a good team right now who may be in the playoff. You never know. Cougs versus West Virginia. Giving you a chance to get those tickets. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll come back with Pena and more. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Okay, this will be quick because we got Michael Carroll coming up here shortly. But let's get to Pena. Pena wants to talk some baseball. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Del.
Morning.
Hey, man, plus, with the Dodgers being on the verge of losing the World Series, would this be in recent history one of the biggest upsets? Like, you know, with the Astros losing in 2019, they had a pretty badass lineup, and then with the Yankees, was it 2000 or 2001 or somewhere around there when they lost to the Diamondbacks? So what would this be with the Dodgers' high payroll and all that? Would this be one of the biggest upsets? And that's it, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, it would be. This Dodger team rolled through the playoffs. They were expected to win the World Series from the jump. And the fact that Toronto has got them to a game 6 and they're trailing in the series, yeah, it'd be a giant upset. As far as historically speaking, I'm not that way with baseball. I'd have to actually look more into it. But
the ones he mentioned are the ones I would mention.
Yeah. In recent memory?
Yeah. I think the Diamondbacks over Yankees is probably, maybe it's a little bit of it happened, whatever, when I was a kid, so it seemed like a bigger deal. But that one and the Nationals over the Astros, I don't have like another one off the top of my head that comes to mind. Especially because I think Fox has shown this during one of the games, like the preseason World Series odds for these teams are like just because the Blue Jays were picked basically to finish last in the AL East, mm-hmm. or if not last, second to last in the AL East, and now they're one win away from the World Series. So I think when you put that in there, like if you add in the preseason expectations, I think this might be one of the most, I guess, if they finish the job, one of the most surprising World Series champions.
Yeah, the Dodgers, even just going into the series, were -215. That's where it opened at. So they're big favorites.
Yeah, that's to win big. It.
Yeah, and considering all the talent on the roster, all the big names, we heard Milo just laud Shohei for what he is. And
does it against all types of people.
Yes, that's why he,
unlike Babe Ruth,
that's why he didn't have Babe Ruth on the same level, because he only did it against one type of person. Plumbers. Babe Ruth did it against...
Like, that one, literally, they did have other jobs.
Yes, that's how they survived.
In the 1920s, it was a hobby to be on the Yankees.
You cannot be just a baseball player and feed yourself and your family.
Yeah.
Of course, times have changed.
Yeah.
So, Babe Ruth did it against the poors. Shohei, not so much.
Just white poor people.
White poor people.
Bunch of Riley Mosses out there.
He's not that poor, but white.
Yeah. Guess not.
I mean, white poor people determine the direction of a certain country that we live in. Now and then, I guess I would say. But Babe Ruth did play against them. Shohei playing against a lot of rich dudes and showing out for the most part.
And he's the richest.
He's deferred the payments.
Yeah, I guess not right now.
He's not as rich as he could be.
He is contracted to become the richest among them.
Yes, he's still plenty rich.
Yeah.
But not as rich as he could. And he,
what a great guy.
And now he's got to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Does he catch a lot if
legacy,
they don't win
legacy
this thing?
Game?
He's got legs. Two games. He's got to show out these last two games.
I will say it helps that they won last year, but
yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But if this was the NBA Finals and the NBA equivalent of Shohei Ohtani was down 3-2, there would be a lot of like, let's see what you got, Shohei. Are you a fraud or are you going to come back and win this thing?
Yeah, I don't know that Stephen A. Smith, considering he said that Shohei couldn't be a star in this country because he didn't speak English. I don't know if he will go there, but if it was an NBA thing, he would.
Like, I mean, I guess this is like 2012 LeBron down 3-2
Coming back home down 3-2 against the Spurs.
Oh, no, I was thinking Celtics.
You mean the conference.
Because it was on the road. That's,
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Got it.
So just 46 points. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, but...
I'm like 80%.
But to your point, Shohei already validated it by winning, much like LeBron did against the Thunder the year before. Yeah. So
they've ruined it.
In some ways,
it would have been way more fun.
We can't really draw a complete comp because road at home, guy had already won. But I get
it's
what
baseball.
I get what you're. It's baseball. He's one of nine.
Times
He's,
and the Blue Jays can make it to where he doesn't swing the bat.
Yeah, they may just walk him all the times. Yeah. You could double team LeBron, but you can still get the ball in his hand. So it can't be a direct comp. But I understood what you're saying. It's a big moment.
Yeah.
For that,
it's all on you, Shohei. I'm trying.
Mookie Bex is there too.
Hey, I don't have ESPN tonight, so I'm going to be watching you.
That's right. That's right. Deadly focused on baseball.
Yeah.
Or maybe episode 3 of The Witcher. Who knows?
I am going to be efforting to get the ESPN I love back.
And how would you do that, Sean?
I'm going to go to keepmynetworks.com so I can hopefully get ESPN back in time for college football. College game day. I mean, we are kind of on the clock with college game day, getting that back in time. But I'd settle for 11 o'clock, Vandy, Texas.
Of course.
I would love for that. You know, college basketball, Texas plays Duke on Tuesday. I would love to have ESPN back in time for that. So I'm gonna go to keepmynetworks.com to make that happen.
That is your option, keepmynetworks.com. All right, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll when we come back. Host of Comicast, he does that with Jong Lee. You can listen to that wherever you listen to your podcast, and they'll give you some options. Perhaps you don't have access to ESPN this weekend. What are you going to watch? Michael Carroll will have some answers for you. We'll do that when we come back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And action!
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us. I will apologize by showing up after the show, but Michael Carroll asked me can I stay and do an aqueduct? It's not like I immediately left yesterday. I was still here.
You're still here, yeah.
And I just forgot. And then I came in this morning. I was like, oh, crap. I forgot that I told Michael I would be here for that.
My perspective on that was like, okay, he's going to come in like after he does his stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll, you know, it's probably going to be like 15 minutes or something like that, 20 minutes. And then it was like 12:30, 12:45. I was like, I think he's gone.
Because I don't normally do that. If he says, hey, can you record it? I'll show up. I just sent my emails and forgot. But I remembered. So I will be there after the show to record something with you. But you're here with us now. I don't promise anything because I don't want to be held to account if I break a promise.
Oh, no.
Just it's the way I live my life. But Michael Carroll's here with us right now. He did show up when he said he would, so we thank him for that.
I try.
So Comic-Cast was not on this Wednesday because of the World Series, correct?
Correct.
And so it didn't. You couldn't have heard it this week, but next week, right? We're good to go again?
We're back on ESPN 97.5, yeah, next Wednesday at 7. Of course, we still released an issue.
Yes, you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, you can find it right now wherever you listen to podcasts. All about Jong watched Gen V Season 2. He's finished that, so I got a little bit of his non-spoilers on that.
Okay.
I, of course, watched It, Welcome to Derry, the first episode.
I did as well.
I gave my non-spoiler thoughts on that. And then we both got into the whole, you know, the internet kind of broke last week with the whole Ben Solo, the hunt for Ben Solo thing, and the campaign to get that movie back on track and back in the works. Not going to happen, but we dove into that and a bit of a surprise that Disney's not even going to explore that possibility. So that's issue 618 of Comic-Cast.
As you heard, he does that with Jong Lee. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts, Comic-Cast with Michael Carroll. Okay, so we got an interesting week. You mentioned Welcome to Derry. The second episode's going to come out.
Today. It's available. Yeah,
because of Halloween, they're bringing out the second episode tonight. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's already out. I'm not sure.
It might already be out.
Yeah. So while you gave a non-spoiler review, we'll continue that here. Did you imagine they would do the thing?
No.
The thing that they did, considering they normal stories, normal shows will... Hey, these are the people to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then Malcolm and Derry is like, we'll do a different thing. I was loudly going, I can't believe it.
I was shocked that they were the opening sequence and the ending sequence. Yeah. We were both very, very shocking to say the least. Of course, again, this is set 27 years before the It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 movies done by Andy Muschietti, who is creator of the show along with his wife. And so it's looking at Mike and Mike's grandparents.
Mike was one of the characters from It.
Exactly. And now we're looking at his grandparents as Time and Derry. And I believe this one's set in the 60s, if I remember correctly, 62, I want to say. So we're looking at that perspective, and they do I don't know how to describe it, but they do a thing where it's like, I don't know that there's too much to say about it because it'll spoil things, but just watch it. That's all I can say. Just watch it if you're into the It movies or if you're into the 90 version with Tim Curry. Just watch it because it is, whoa.
There's a direct connection between Welcome to Derry and The Shining. One of the characters, if you know the name, you'll recognize that pretty quickly. So it'll be interesting to follow that character as a younger person and see how it develops over the course of the season and how he winds up at, what is the Lookout Hotel?
And how it all connects
into
Stephen King's universe of things. So that was one aspect I was not prepared for, but it makes sense for what Stephen King and his books do.
And I'm interested to see how the military aspect of it comes about because they're looking for something and they're probably going to find it and it ain't going to be good for anyone.
No. And it's, again, I think we talked about it a bit last week in that Bill Skarsgård, who played Pennywise in the movies, is back to play the character here. And while he's not in all of the episodes, his presence is still very much felt.
Correct.
Especially, again, in that first episode, in the opening sequence and, you know, little bits throughout and in the ending sequence. Somebody described it as, I thought it would be this, where you get sprinklings of him making moves and things like that, not overt things. And we got the overt thing right from the jump, and even more so in the end of that first episode.
Yeah. If you know the story of It, you know kids are in danger.
Yes.
That does not change. I'll just say that. Watching the first episode, I imagine that'll be a thing throughout.
And it's interesting that, you know, there is this 3-season plan for the show, but the way they're going to design it is like this one's in 1962. Next season will be in 1935, and then the final season will be 1908.
Yeah, Pennywise apparently has a cycles, and this is one of his cycles.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll go back in time.
And so we're diving into the lore of that and diving into the origins of all of that, and the, like you mentioned, the military angle of this show.
Yeah, I love expanding on lore, and I didn't know that it could go this in-depth when it came to Pennywise, so we'll see where it goes from there. So that is something we both watched. Maybe people have watched it as well, as episode 2 will be out today. What about other things people can either go see out in theaters or stay home?
It's a streaming-wise, it's an interesting bag, but theater-wise, there is a definite must-watch, I would say, and that is Begonia. I saw that earlier this week.
Okay.
Of course, this is from Yorgos. I don't know how to say his last name. Who did? He's the director behind Poor Things.
Lanthimos?
I believe so.
Lanthimos, something like that.
It's a very interesting bag of movies when it comes to his work. This is my first foray into that. But Begonia is a film that stars Jesse Plemons, Emma Stone. Alicia Silverstone's in it. But it's about two conspiracy-obsessed young men kidnap the high-powered CEO of a major company, convinced that she is an alien intent on destroying planet Earth.
Emma Stone is the potential alien in question.
She is the potential alien in question. Jesse Plemons is one of the guys.
You can see it.
I can see it. I can see how you think that she's an alien.
So, you know, for one, it's showcasing the differences between the rich and the poor. Like, that's one of the key things, because these two conspiracy-obsessed young men are also downtrodden in rough states due to their family life, due to things that happened in the past, and they dive into a little bit of that. And so some of it is very, difficult in terms of understanding where they come from, and kind of sad in a lot of ways, but it also has some comedy in there, dark comedy, with the absurdities of certain situations and the absurdity of their conspiracy theories, and just it's a showcase of now how many people just believe whatever they see on the internet, but it's also done in a Yorgos way, which is very weird and very different than what you would expect. But rave reviews right now with critics, 89% and 83% with audiences. One of the critics that I saw it with, they were curious how general audiences would respond to it. And based off the screening that we had, the audience was super into it. So I would imagine this was probably going to do well. If you want original storytelling, this is not an IP, this is not anything like that. If you want original, Begonia is that. And it was something that was not on my radar. But having seen it, it is one of the better films of the year, I would say.
I've seen a couple of his, and you just got to go and just, all right, this ain't going to be normal.
No.
It's not going to be straightforward. You're going to see characters that are wilder than life. And just accept it and then go with it. Just understand this is a reality that isn't normal to your own.
And just
be in it and see if you like them.
Yeah, this is like, again, it reflects current day, but it also amps it up to 11, you know, and it's not for everyone. It's definitely not a story for everyone. But if you do go see it this weekend, go with as little information as possible outside of two conspiracy theorists want to kidnap this CEO. So, and let the hijinks ensue from there.
Oh, hijinks.
Yeah, there's a little bit of hijinks.
Shenanigans even?
Some shenanigans.
Okay.
Specifically with the, you know, two guys that are not the brightest bulbs trying to kidnap this person.
I love when Jesse Plemons plays someone who's described as not the brightest bulb.
Yeah. No, and him, Emma Stone, and Aiden Delpkiss, I think is his name. Those are the three main characters throughout the course of this movie. Phenomenal job from all three of them. I think with the three of them together makes this movie work in a lot of ways. And Emma Stone's phenomenal. You know, I mean, what a shock, Emma Stone at this point. And same with Jesse Plemons, who always manages to steal scenes in whatever movie he is. He has the most notable scene from Civil War, that movie that came out.
Yeah.
He's a strong performer for sure. So it's a good one.
So that's the showcase if we're talking about things to see in theaters. Are there any clear no-goes, or is this all just kind of in the middle?
There's nothing necessarily that's a no-go. There is one I'm going to put on people's radar. It's a limited release, but it's Violent Ends. It's 92% right now on Rotten Tomatoes from critics. Not a lot of reviews, so take that with a grain of salt. But it stars Millie Magnuson, I think is how you say his name.
Billy
Magnuson. Yeah. I promise I can say it right. But Billy is he's an actor that, like, I don't know that people know his name right off the jump.
It's probably a face you've seen. But maybe a face you've seen. Name, yeah.
And it's a face that you've seen typically in comedies, I would say. And so this is more of a dramatic turn from him as a lead in this, where he plays Lucas Frost, who is an honest man brought up in a crime family whose only legacy is violence. And he tries to make a peaceful life on his own with his fiance Emma, played by Alexandra Shipp, Storm from the more recent X-Men movies. And he's suddenly pulled back into the family business. This is set in the Ozark Mountains, so it's kind of got that, you know, the Ozark feel to it. And it reminds me of a movie called Out of the Furnace. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've seen that one.
With Christian Bale. It kind of gives me those vibes, but it looks good. It seems like a solid crime thriller for folks if they want to go check
it
out.
So it has Storm from the most recent or more recent X-Men movies, mm-hmm. and it has John Connor from the bad Terminator movie.
Yeah.
Nick Stahl is in it.
Yeah, Nick Stahl's
from
in
Terminator
it.
Terminator 3. Not a great one.
No.
That's a whiff.
That one was a whiff. But Violent Ends seems like a solid watch this weekend. And another limited release, Safe House, which is not the movie with Denzel and Ryan Reynolds. Louis Tan.
Sorry, Sean.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Sean.
Boo.
I know.
Let's watch that instead.
Probably watch that instead. Louis Tan, Hannah John Kamen, Holt McCallany, I think is how you say his name. I forget. But it's a group of Secret Service, CIA, Department of Defense, and Homeland Security are locked in a safe house together after a vice president's motorcade is attacked. And seems like the person that may be involved in it is locked in with them. So they're trying to figure out who's who.
Let's get to a break, and we'll come back with maybe things you should watch at home. But of course, if you were really looking to watch sports this weekend and you have YouTube TV, there's an issue. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get your ESPN channels back because, you know, big college football weekend starting tonight. You got Memphis playing tonight. A ranked Memphis team trying to win their conference and maybe make it to the playoff. Their game's on ESPN. Currently, if you're a YouTube TV subscriber like myself, you can't watch it. So go to keepmynetworks.com to get your college football back, get your college game day back, get your Monday Night Football back. And we will be back with one more segment with Michael.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show. That's kind of full of sports, but also filled with a lot of movie talk. Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
It's full of a lot of things.
Yeah, Michael. God, rude.
So, Michael Carroll, the voice of the show.
TV talk, even.
Yeah.
And we'll do that right now. Yeah. Because some of you just want to stay home. Maybe you got kids. Halloween's a big night. That's obviously tonight. You got things to handle. But maybe after the festivities are over, you don't want to go out. You just want to watch something. What do you have for them, Michael?
Well, this is where it gets to be a mixed bag because I think you mentioned it earlier. The Witcher season 4 premieres.
I did.
All 8 episodes are available now. I would take the audience score with a grain of salt because I believe it's being review bombed right now by Henry Cavill purists.
Sure.
I would say because it's 17% right now with audiences.
I am watching it. It is not that bad.
It's not. Yeah, that's what I figured. It's not that bad. Now, is it 56%? That's what critics have it at.
I'm only through 2.5 episodes, and you know, Henry Cavill really drove it. Like Siri, the chosen one. Certainly, a lot of focus on her. I don't particularly care about where she is right now, as far as who she's around the characters. I'd rather have her back in a more, even with it being a Hemsworth, more Geralt centered story. Even if she was the lead. It's fine. I mean, 56 to 65, whatever percentage you want to give, it's probably right around there.
I could see that. It is trying to, so they shot the fourth season and the fifth season back to back. So the obviously the fourth season premieres today. The fifth season, I would imagine, premieres sometime next year. But the fourth and fifth season are trying to adapt three books into two seasons. That makes me a bit concerned. And I think the characters that Siri is with right now that you're referencing.
The rats.
Yeah, I've read that part, and it's a whole aspect, and I forget which book it is now. That can be hit or miss for people, but I don't know. They seem to be getting further and further away from the books. That's the other common theme I see as a problem for folks. So I don't know, but that's available for you on Netflix this weekend. A show that premiered actually on BBC earlier this year, but is now available on Prime Video, King and Conqueror, starring Jaime Lannister from Game of Thrones. I'm not going to even attempt to say his
Nicholas
name.
Nicholas Coulter. Waldo, something that one. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah. Coster Waldo.
Yep. That.
Shot Caller?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're RJ Barrett, point at Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Game of Thrones. Yeah, exactly. So William, or King and Conqueror season one is a historical drama fiction, maybe not fiction because they really adhere to history in a lot of ways. And maybe that's a detriment because right now critics have it at a 55% and a 33% with audiences. I love
historical drama.
So maybe that's King and Conquerors for you this weekend. It might be. On Prime Video. Season one is available right now on Prime Video. I think it's 8 episodes. Ballad of a Small Player, the new Colin Farrell film that's on Netflix, had a limited release earlier this month in theaters. Well, now it's available on Netflix. Maybe skip it. It's 48% with critics, 51% with audiences.
You're always going to be the Penguin going forward. Oz.
Yeah. Bald. And this one seems to have a lot of style over substance, with a high-stakes gambler laying low in Macau who encounters a kindred spirit who might just hold the key to his salvation. Colin Farrell, Fala Chin, and Tilda Swinton are the stars in that, but maybe...
Oh, one of our guys from...
maybe skip that.
Netflix show used to be on on Max.
Warrior,
yeah. Jason Tobin, Warriors, he's in that.
That's a good show.
Is Watch Chauncey Warrior. Billups or Damon Jones in this one?
Don't see them in the casting.
I don't think they made the casting.
High States Gambler, Find Salvation. Yeah. I just had to ask.
Well, they haven't made that. Okay. Anyway.
They certainly haven't found salvation yet.
Well, maybe they help Colin Farrell find salvation.
Maybe.
Season two, maybe.
Maybe season two. Save it for, well, sequel. Sequel.
Oh, sequel.
Yeah, sequel. We'll see. What I will recommend, Down Cemetery Road, season one on Apple TV
that.
Plus.
I like it.
You liked it?
Yes.
With Emma Thompson and Ruth Wilson, who I love from Luther, one of my favorite shows. When a child goes missing in the aftermath of a house explosion, a concerned neighbor teams up with a private investigator to find them as secrets unravel and a military conspiracy emerges, chaos ensues.
Yeah, the reveal of episode two, really good. I was surprised by it. Normally not surprised because I watch so much TV. You kind of pick at what is surprise and what isn't going to show up. That one got me, and I was like, oh, nice job. So I'm in on that one.
Yeah, first three episodes of that one are out, so I would probably recommend that one, if anything, this weekend. Down Cemetery Road, again, on Apple TV+. You got Robin Hood, another Robin Hood story.
Adaptation, okay.
Yeah, adaptation. Season one on MGM+. I don't know if
I have that.
You have that? So you can watch the first two episodes out this Sunday.
I could.
At 8 p.m.
I certainly could.
You could.
Yes.
I'm just saying you could. It's available out there for you.
Who's playing Maid Marian? Who's in this?
I'm going to be honest.
Sean Bean's in it.
Yeah, Sean Bean's
in it. Playing Sheriff of Nottingham.
R.I.P.
Connie Nielsen?
Connie Nielsen's in it as well. Don't know who Robin Loxley is. I imagine that'll be his name until later on. Yeah, I'll probably give it a shot. See if Sean Bean.
Try that.
I don't know that the Sheriff of Nottingham dies in the story. Maybe he has to. Sean Bean's got to die. What am I saying? All right. That music means we're done. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
He is the host of Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee. You can generally find it here on ESPN 975 on Wednesdays right now from 7 to 8. But of course, you can find it everywhere you listen to podcasts. You can hear Michael and John talk about
all
the best and maybe some of the worst in TV and movies and pop culture.
We do it all.
Nerd culture news. Sean, thank you. Since that music is playing, what does that mean?
Flip me over, Mike.
We did that earlier this week. We did flip him over. All right, Rich Eyes is up next. I'll talk to you on Monday.